Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Quinque veritas. A little Latin to begin the day. This famous quotation from Pontius Pilate to Jesus during that kangaroo court hearing very early on Friday morning. It means, what is truth? Good question. Who really knows what truth is? Our country has spent the last 2 years or so trying to figure out what the truth is about the last presidential election. And now that a report has been issued, we're still asking, what is truth? Abortion is legal in the United States, so what's the truth? Is it wrong or is it right? God tells you in the fifth commandment, you shall not murder. Murder is defined as the unlawful killing of another human. So what is the truth? The legal definition or God's definition? Marriage is defined as the lifelong union of one man and one woman, but not according to the legal definition. So, what is truth? Have you ever noticed how nearly every year around Easter, news magazines and the internet blogs will bring out alternative theories to explain, really to explain away the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? The disciples were fooled by their overactive imaginations. The apostles hatched a plot to pull a fast one to get some gullible people to believe that Jesus rose, or that's the word. Or if you care for the Muslim version, Jesus is a prophet of Allah, but it was not the Son of God. And he didn't die on the cross. Someone else was crucified in his place. And Jesus was directly raised up to Allah without dying. Now, as Christians, you know that none of these explanations are true. Because what we heard in the first reading from Acts this morning is the apostolic witness from the very beginning. And even when faced with prison or death, they could not stop telling what God had done. Peter and the apostles answered the authorities, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him as leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." And they continued, and we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Some 60 years later, the Apostle John alone remained of the 12 apostles. Nearly 100 years of age, he was exiled to the island of Patmos because of his testimony of Jesus. And while he was there, God gave him the visions that begin in our second lesson for today, a portion of which reads, "I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, 'Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Thyatira and Sardis and to Philadelphia and Laodicea.' Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white as wool, white as snow. His eyes were like flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Why is it that the world cannot accept the testimony of the resurrection but has to put forth other alternatives? The truth is, people instinctively know the resurrection of Jesus calls for repentance. If God went to such lengths that God Himself would come into our flesh, die in our place, and then bodily rise again, we must have desperately needed for Him to do that. And though people may not want to admit it, most people, when they hear it, recognize that if Jesus actually did rise from the dead, then we somehow have to come to terms with that. But if a person doesn't want to repent, or if we don't really think we need to repent, that we're okay on our own, then we try to hold Jesus out at arm's length. Why do people become atheists? Many question why a good God would allow suffering in this world, why He would allow children to suffer. After all, God doesn't behave according to human expectations. So people have concluded as a result there is no Savior, or if there is, they don't really need one or want one. And so they go on without God. A young man once said he just couldn't believe Jesus truly rose from the dead, but he said that if Jesus were to appear to him personally like He did to Thomas, well, then maybe he could believe. But for now, Jesus isn't important to him. The real reason, of course, is that he senses that if Jesus actually did rise from the dead, then he would have to repent. And that's the last thing he wants to do. He wants to be in control of his own destiny. People generally do acknowledge that Jesus lived 2,000 years ago, but they often want to find a way to set Him aside on a shelf, so to speak, or fit Him into some kind of box, or reduce Him to a category that we can understand and explain. After all, He was a man, right? But the Jesus of Scripture will not allow Himself to be put into our boxes or to be limited by us. He is the Almighty, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, ruling over all things. Just as Scripture tells of the real death of Jesus on our behalf, so the apostolic witness is clear. Jesus bodily rose from the dead. The fact that supersedes everything. When John saw Him, he said, "I fell at His feet as though dead." But He laid His hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and of Hades." And then in a series of visions of increasing intensity, each one covering the whole time between Pentecost and the end of time, Revelation overwhelms us with the assurance of Christ's victory, that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That Jesus is alive forevermore. And so in Him, we will live also. John is on Patmos, exiled for his testimony of Jesus. But in these visions, God allows him to, as in the Wizard of Oz, peek behind the curtain to see and hear the Lord Jesus in all His glory, to see that He has the keys of death and of hell. How many times have you been bothered by the devil's temptations? Jesus has the key to lock him up where he belongs. The key is His Word, the sharp two-edged sword of law and gospel. He is alive to give us what we need more than anything, to cleanse us from our sins by the washing of water with His Word. He is alive now to make us a kingdom of priests to His God and Father, so that, forgiven and restored, we serve Him with our sacrifices and praise. Every day becomes an offering of service to Him. Every time we tell someone else of His love for them, we are serving Him as royal priests. If you've ever been to a funeral, you've watched a funeral director take out that removable crank that shut the lid of a casket. Jesus has the key that will open every casket. It will be His voice, as with Lazarus. He will call you by name and say, "Come out of there." And we will rise, just as He said. Yes, we will die a real death. Jesus also died a real death. No one took His place. He was there for us. And just as He rose from the dead and is truly alive forevermore, so He will raise us and give us the life that never ends. One of the more potent demonstrations of the resurrection of Jesus is the continued existence for 2,000 years of the Christian church here on earth. From the very beginning, enemies tried putting the apostles into prison. They exiled John to an island of Patmos. Eventually, all the other apostles were martyred all the way down to today. And the enemies of Christ think they can silence the church by killing believers like last Sunday's bombings in Sri Lanka. But the Word of God will not be silenced. For the one speaking the Word is the same living Jesus who spoke to John. He is the Almighty Himself, with a long white robe and a golden sash, signifying authority, with those eyes of fire and feet like burnished bronze, with a face shining as the sun in full strength, and with a voice like the roar of many waters. When John saw Him, he fell at His feet as though dead, but Jesus laid His hand on him and said, "Fear not. For I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore." And so also we, when we are faced with our own sin and our own impending death, we must repent of our sin. We must own up to our need, put away all of our excuses. We must recognize that we are dying. We are not worthy to stand in His presence. So just as Jesus laid His hand on John to say, "Fear not," Jesus lays His Word on us. "Fear not. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Fear not. Your sins are forgiven you. Go and sin no more. Fear not, I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but will raise it up on the last day. And even as He speaks His word, Jesus also cleanses us by His blood in the water of holy baptism and touches our lips with His body and His blood for the forgiveness of our sins and everlasting life. One more proof of the resurrection is found in what we're doing right now. We've gathered here for divine service on Sunday. Think of it, for centuries, Jewish believers gathered on the Sabbath, on Saturday, and suddenly, without turning back, Jewish believers in Jesus began to worship on Sunday. The Lord's Day, John called it. What changed that deeply held practice? Only something as fundamental as a real Sunday morning resurrection from the dead. So now think of this also. For 2,000 years, somewhere, somehow, God's people have been acting on the Lord's command, do this in remembrance of me. You and I today join that long line of believers who receive the gifts, who trust that behind simple forms of bread and wine, there will stand by the power of His Word, the living Lord, Jesus Christ, giving to us His very own body and blood. He speaks the truth, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of heaven and hell, because Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus till He returns again in glory. Amen.